Praise God. Maybe we'll go turn it down just a little bit. Praise God. I don't want to wake you up too early. Praise God. What is it? Testing 1, 2. Check, check, check. Good morning, Facebook Live. We're just adjusting our mic here very quickly this morning. It's all right. Very professional. Top-notch recording this morning. That's good. That's good. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Lesson number 2, the discipline of prayer. The discipline of prayer. I think I'm really going to enjoy this entire series because they all start with the discipline of. Isn't that wonderful? You mean as Christians we have to be disciplined? What? But I thought God gave freedom and liberty. Joy unspeakable. But these all start with discipline. The discipline of prayer. But prayer is a nice, wonderful time that we spend with God, and that's good. That's easy to do, isn't it? To spend time with God. Then why would we need to be disciplined in prayer? I'm so glad, before we even get into this lesson, I'm so glad that this walk that we're on is not based upon feelings. It's not all willy-nilly. The hair standing up on your back of your neck. None of that. There is purpose. And there are disciplines. And there are times that I don't feel like praying. There are times that I don't feel like going to church. There are times that I don't feel like raising my hands and worshiping. But I pray that through this series we learn to discipline ourselves, that even when we don't feel like it, God, you're worthy. Even though I don't feel like it this morning, God, I still need to spend time in communion with you. I still need to pray. Our focus verse today, Matthew 6, 9. Says this, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise God. And we'll get into the rest of that throughout the lesson, as well as Matthew 6. We'll go through 6 through 13 throughout the lesson. Our focus thought today, Jesus gave his disciples instructions regarding prayer that are important for us as Christians to follow in our devotion to him. So prayer is communication with God, communion with him, but free reign. There are some things that we need to know and understand about prayer in order for prayer to be effective and to be a discipline in our Christian lives. Amen. The influence of prayer. When a person is facing a difficult decision in life, it is not uncommon for someone to suggest you need to pray about it. I love that. Usually those are the first words, and then the second thought is, well, I'll pray with you. Praise God. But you need to pray about it. You need to pray about this. And it's amazing that not just church people or Christians go through this in life. Those that even have no relationship with God or no understanding of God, people that have watched your lives will come to you in times of stress, times of family problems, times of health problems, and will you help me pray? Will you pray? I know you've got it in with God, and you're close, you're tied in with Him, and maybe you could say a good word with the guy upstairs. Praise God. He's not a boarder. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's all right. That's a connection that we can grow, that we can use. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that people can see that you have a relationship with God. That's a good thing. Praise God. Say, and you can go back to them the next day. Yeah, I talked to the guy upstairs, and he said that if you would maybe like to communicate with him, that would be okay. That would be okay. Yeah, well, you don't have to go through me. Let's maybe pray together, and then you can learn to communicate to God on your own. Praise God. But you need to pray about it. The solid advice. This is solid advice. And should be one of the first things that we do facing the unknown. However, prayer should become a lifestyle and not merely a stopgap when needs arise. Or it should not be the knee-jerk reaction to a need. It needs to be the lifestyle so that when the need arises, your prayer life continues the same. Right? My prayer life doesn't need to expand or get greater or deeper only in times of need. It needs to be a part of my everyday Christian walk, my lifestyle. It needs to be a part of who I am as a child of God. Amen. Even the medical field has begun to tell us that not only is prayer a good practice, but it also appears to be the best practice. According to over 1,500 respectable medical studies, people who are more religious and pray more have better mental and physical health. They're actually studying prayer. Praise God. It is remarkable how God's plan always seems to exceed the expectations we place upon Him. When the Lord asks us to do something, the results of our obedience reach far beyond what we can even imagine. Our obedience. Isn't that another wonderful, wonderful attribute of a Christian? Obedience. Such an easy word to say, such a hard word to accomplish. Amen. Sometimes it's an easy word to accomplish with our bodies and with our actions, yet so difficult to accomplish with our mind, with our inner being. Yeah, fine, Pastor, I'll do that. I'll do it. I'll get it done. Wrong attitude. Praise God. It's got to get on the inside. Absolutely. Whatever you say, I'm all over it. I'm going to enjoy working for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to enjoy being submitted. Amen. Praise. Does anybody believe that this morning? That it can be a blessing to be submitted and to be obedient? Praise God. It's better than sacrifice. Amen. Amen. A lot of us don't mind sacrificing, but oh, help us, Jesus, on the obedience. All right, moving on. So when the Lord asks us to do something, the results of our obedience reach far beyond what we could even imagine. He is working in areas that we cannot see. And now the medical field has confirmed the wide-reaching influence of prayer. Prayer not only refreshes our spirits, but prayer has a profound and positive influence on our natural bodies as well. When we pray, when we spend time with God, that's when we feel His presence. That's when we feel His peace. That's when anxiety just kind of falls to the side. That's when fear gets cast out when we're in the presence of His perfect love. Amen. Amen. The disciples of the Lord Jesus saw him do many unprecedented and remarkable things. They saw him turn water into wine. They saw him cleanse the lepers. They saw when a man was lowered down through a roof. Can't get to Jesus, let's go another route. Let's rip this house apart. And who cares if it rains? This guy needs to get to Jesus. They saw that all happen. They witnessed that same man at the command of the master stand up on his feet, take up his bed, and walk out. The same Jesus who was so gentle and approachable that little children felt comfortable climbing into his arms and receiving blessing, also had the power and authority to command demons and the forces of nature. We see so many times people who only can see God as love and grace and mercy. All of the good, positive blessings, that's all they can see God as. But they forget sometimes that He is all powerful and has all authority and is in control and command of everything. Mark 4:39, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. That's the God that we serve. Although the disciples witnessed many miracles, never do we read where they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to perform miracles. But we do read in Luke's writing of their when they're coming to the Lord with this plea, Luke 11:1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. Something about Jesus' prayer life so impacted the disciples that they innately understood if they could just learn to pray as he prayed, they would have the same amazing results. It wasn't about the miracles. It was about the prayer life. It was about the prayer life. God, teach us to pray. If we can just pray, if we can make that a part of our everyday life, let it be a lifestyle, then all of the things, all of the other things that we see God doing can be a part of our lives as well. But it starts and begins with prayer, with prayer. Matthew 6, we are to pray in secret. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Question for you. Why? Why are we to pray in secret? Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other responses for why we should pray in secret? Strengthen, exactly. To strengthen your personal relationship with God. Amen. Absolutely. I can pray about things here in front of all of you, but there's things that I pray about when I'm by myself alone that. Exactly. Exactly. So important. That prayer time, that communion with God, it's so vital that it gets beyond the surface. And we can pray about surface stuff here. God, touch the Sunday school classes, Lord. But bless each teacher, bless our children. But we're not going to get into the details of each child's life and maybe some issues that are there that are very private in nature that you may know about that you're going to pray about in a secret place. In a secret place. So, prayer is not to be a public spectacle, and we talked about that, but rather should be viewed as a personal visit with our beloved Father. This principle of prayer is also foreshadowed in the Old Testament, Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God will reward openly. When we pray in secret, God will reward openly. The children of Israel were saved and delivered from slavery and bondage in Egypt when the Lord heard their groanings. Few heard the words Joshua spoke to the Lord, but the entire world beheld the wonder of the sun standing still as God hearkened to the prayer of a man who dared to ask him to do what had never been done before. Incredible. We need to pray that before we go halibut fishing. Praise God. We're going to just start that out right at the launch. Praise God. Today, Lord, I want you to do what has never happened before. Help me to catch a halibut today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let the Honda 90 run and purr and just get us to where we need to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to pray it in private, though, and then the Lord will open. It will answer it publicly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God sent a preacher to preach truth to the house of Cornelius because his prayers and his alms had come up as a memorial before the Lord. The door of faith was open to the Gentiles because a man prayed. Because a man prayed. Hallelujah. Peter was delivered from prison when the church prayed. God still provides. He still heals. He still saves. He still delivers when his people pray. Hallelujah. Sister Phoebe touched on this, we are to pray unlike the hypocrites. Matthew 6:5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They already got it. Accolades. You're such a good prayer. Yay for you. Don't be like the hypocrites. Prayers directed to earthly audiences, prayed to impress men rather than God, rarely get answered. The only reward a person who prays in such a way might receive is human affirmation. Oh, that was a lovely prayer at the inauguration that you read. That was wonderful. Thousands and millions of people will praise you for that prayer. That was wonderful. And I think it's important that we pray at inaugurations. We pray for our leaderships. Praise God. But it's not a prayer before men. It's a prayer unto God. Amen. Praise God. Continue to pray for the leadership of our country. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And if we pray in private, God will reward openly. Praise God. We are to pray unlike the heathen. Well, that's an obvious one. Matthew 6:7. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions. Vain repetitions. Vain repetitions. Vain repetitions. Vain. I think you get the point. As the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Nobody look around today, but do you know anybody like that? Just in conversation, not prayer related necessarily, but just in conversation, they just feel like if they say it one more time, you're going to get it. You're going to change your ways if they just speak it to you one more time. That is not how prayer works. God is not influenced by vain repetition. Continued prayer, absolutely. God, heal my foot. God, heal my foot. God, heal my foot. Not vain repetition. But God, sincerely, I need a healing touch from you today. Tomorrow, God, I need a healing touch from you today. Tomorrow, God, I need a healing touch from you today. That is not vain repetition. That is consistent prayer life. There's a difference. There's a difference. Vain repetition. Jesus warned against vain repetition and believing that prayer is effectual because of much speaking. Attributing the success of prayer to the amount of time spent or the energy expended is dangerously close to the false doctrine of salvation by works. Careful. Absolutely. Attributing the success of prayer to the amount of time spent or the energy expended is dangerously close to the false doctrine of salvation by works. This accomplishment, this answer to prayer happened because I said it enough times. Do you ever wonder why there are certain people that flog themselves, beat themselves? If I do enough, if I suffer enough, if I can do enough, God's going to answer. God's going to hear. That is not what occurred. The God answered by fire and consumed and lapped up all the water after everybody else had beat themselves half to death. He answered because he's God. Amen. Not because of what we did. Because he's God. Rather, the attitude of our hearts and the sincerity of our faith, along with our obedience, there it is again, oh my. Our obedience to God's word make our prayers acceptable to him. God, when I pray, when I spend time in prayer, God, let my attitude be right. Let my motives be right in my request to you. First and foremost, let your will be accomplished. Not my will, but your will be done. That needs to be the attitude of our hearts. And we need to pray with sincerity in our faith. God, I believe you, whether you heal me or not. Whether my family ever comes back into church or not, I will serve you. I will serve you. Sincerity in our faith, in our obedience to God's word, so vital in our prayer life that we are obedient to God's word. God, you're not answering the prayers that I have. And he sees the struggle in your heart. And he sees that I just don't want to do that. I don't want to submit in this area of my life. I don't want to give this up in my life. And God just seems to be waiting with the answer. I've got the answer. I've got the need right here. It's going to be fulfilled. I'm waiting for one small part of the recipe, and that is your obedience. Your obedience. God, help us to be obedient to your word, to have a heart that is submitted to your will and not our own. I want my prayers to not be wasted time. I want my prayer time, my prayers to be acceptable to God. I want them to avail much. Scripture instructs us to ask, to make known our needs, but the Word reveals that even before we ask, the Lord knows our needs. I've heard it prayed many times. Lord, you know. Maybe you're praying in public and you don't want people to know the details of the prayer. God, you know. You know the details of this need. Right now, I can't speak them out. They're in my mind. They're going over in my mind, but I can't speak them. God, you already know the need. You already know the need. Scripture does instruct us to ask and to make known our needs. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful in the mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, the model for prayer. The first thing is recognition. Jesus began his instructions regarding prayer with these words, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." Matthew 6:9. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Jesus taught his disciples to begin their prayer by acknowledging God as their Father. We do not approach the throne of grace like an unworthy supplicant, but rather with the confidence of children coming to a loving Father. Right? How do you approach the throne? Like a brat? Easy. Stepping on toes this morning, Brother Bartlett. Or do you come as a confident child, coming to a loving Father, knowing that He cares for you? Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We also acknowledge that His dwelling is in heaven. His perspective is far-seeing and superior to ours. We bring our needs to Him, knowing and trusting that He does all things well, and that His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." After recognition comes praise. We come with praise, acknowledging that His name is hallowed or holy. Psalms 104, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Hallelujah. A grateful heart sets the tone for entering into the presence of God. I don't like to enter into His presence or try to enter into His presence being ungrateful, unthankful. I don't think I would like my end of the deal on that. I need to have a grateful heart. God, it's a tough day, but I'm so thankful what you've done for me in the past. God, you're keeping me standing when I don't think I can stand right now. But I'm going to enter your gates with thanksgiving. And I'm going to enter your courts with praise today. I want to have a grateful heart. It sets the tone when entering into the presence of God. And here is our favorite word, submission. God is not our personal servant doing our bidding at a moment's notice. if we really believe he is God, then it follows that we should humbly submit to him. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Before we bring our petitions and our needs before the Lord, Jesus taught us that we must be submitted to his will. I think a lot of people get this wrong. God hasn't answered my prayer. God hasn't fulfilled my prayer in the time that I need. I needed this prayer to be answered by this date. We put time constraints and we put all these conditions on this, and I'll keep serving you if so and so will continue to serve you, and I'll put all these conditions on God. But before we even bring our petitions to God, we need to be in the right place. And the right place is being submitted to his will. And so if we are submitted to his will, then we're okay when God says no. Or when God says, wait, hang on just a little bit. I know you want this, but I've got something better around the next corner. So go through this and learn and be more effective for the kingdom of God. And then I'll answer this prayer because that's in my will. And you were getting a little off track there. We need to be submitted to his will. That needs to come first before our petitions are brought before him. Isaiah 29, 13 and 14. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. They had not forsaken the form of prayer. They spoke with their lips all the right words. But words spoken, no matter how eloquent, poetic, or spiritual they sound, mean nothing to God if they do not come from a submitted heart. I have heard in the sanctuaries of churches around this nation, pastors that have an amazing prayer life, leaders in the church. It's like, oh God, I wish I could pray like that. Those are some awesome words. Now, that's not why they're praying those words. They're just amazing at getting it out there. The heart is right. But I'm like, oh, if I could just speak like that. Well, I may never, ever get to that point of being so eloquent in my prayer life that I barely get the words that are written down in front of me this morning. Right? But so eloquent. But their heart is far from me. And I'm not saying that in any of those situations at all. There are people that, man, that is amazing the way that they can form their prayer. It sounds so cool and awesome, you know. But God, I'm here today. And I love you. And I'm submitted to you. And help me today, this very day that I'm living in. You know, have you ever prayed like that? It's like, wow, the words just aren't coming. There's no poetic nothing there. That sounds horrible. But if the heart is right, that's what matters. If the heart is right, get the heart right. Get submitted to God. Don't worry about making it sound pretty. That's not what it's about. Get your heart right. Submitted to him. Praise God. Praise God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. Our prayers must acknowledge our submission to him, to his will, and to his kingdom. His kingdom must come. His will must be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that we got all that straightened out and our heart is right, it's time for petition. Jesus included in his model for prayer a time for us to bring our needs and petitions to the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. He wants us to trust him day by day. Day by day. And to ask him day by day. So important that we spend time with God every single day. Give me some examples of things that have kept you away from prayer. Ready, go. School. Obligations. The telephone, distractions. Why is it when you go to pray, the phone rings? That's when everybody decides to comment on your comment on Facebook. Ding, 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 ding. Put it down. Distractions. The things of life. We schedule so many things in our life. We are so busy. We never get accomplished everything that we have on our to-do list. If we don't write a to-do list, we don't get anything done. Right? Things that keep us away from praying with and being with him and communing with him day by day. But he wants us to trust him day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. Just to save time, Lord, today, God, give me today the bread that I need today, my daily bread. But then maybe could you just start stacking that on? Maybe tomorrow, give me that bread. I'm going to talk about it today. I'm going to ask for tomorrow's bread. And then I'll take Tuesday's bread while I'm at it since I'm here, because I'll probably forget to pray on Tuesday. And then Wednesday's bread, that, you know, once you get the pattern, God, can't you just keep the bread coming? I mean, you know how this goes. No, every day we need to talk to God. Hallelujah. Ask him about the needs for that day. Praise God. Amen. He promised to give to them who ask. He wants us to ask. We are commanded to ask. James said, ye have not because ye ask not. God, how come I'm not seeing this in my life? Well, that's the first time you've mentioned it. I saw that you were kind of lacking, wondering why you weren't mentioning it. Ye have not, because ye ask not. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For prayer to be effective in our lives, we must search our heart and make sure there is no bitterness or unforgiveness lingering there. Lack of forgiveness is one thing that can prevent our prayers from being answered. If we do not forgive, even our worship is unacceptable to the Lord. Did you know that? If we do not forgive, even our worship is unacceptable to the Lord. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. Mark 11:25-26, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, Neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Are you preventing your own forgiveness today? Just in case, I forgive you all. Not that anybody's done anything, but I'm just clearing the slate this morning. Praise God. Will you forgive me if I've done anything? All right, we're good. Now our worship can be accepted today. Praise God. Direction. Oh, this is so important to have direction. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Well, where do you find that? John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Pretty straightforward. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep that are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. One of the most important functions of the shepherd was to lead the flock and provide direction. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. As we pray, let us remember that being led by the Spirit is one quality defining the sons of God. How do they know that you're a son of God? If you're led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. However, in order to be led, one must be willing to follow. One must be willing to follow. Praise God. The discipline of prayer helps us to crucify our own flesh and stubborn human flesh. Don't you love it? Don't you love your flesh this morning? Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. Stubborn. We are to crucify our flesh. Prayer helps us. Paul said, I die daily. Once again, daily. Hope you're getting that. Daily. By spending time in prayer, we hone our sensitivity and learn to hear the voice of the shepherd. Worship, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Notice the Lord's Prayer. We are instructed to begin and end with expressions of worship. Praise God. We acknowledge that everything is His. He alone is worthy of glory and honor. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are His. Not just now, but forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. Can we stand this morning? Praise God. Praise God. God is truly worthy of our worship. Amen. Begin prayer and end prayer with worship because He is worthy. Because He is worthy. Hallelujah. Now we talked about all these things in prayer. How do we apply this to our lives and our walk with God? Prayer is a place of refuge, solace, and comfort during seasons of trouble and sorrow. We must discipline ourselves to pray. A crisis-driven prayer life does not make for a vibrant and healthy prayer life. We must be disciplined daily to pray. To pray. God, help us to be disciplined in our prayer life. Help us to be disciplined. Jesus did not say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. When you pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. We're going to continue to pray for Brother Steve Adams. We're going to pray for Sam Vinnick, who is coming up. So excited about our Bible school students that are here. Praise God. Amen. It's going to be a great, great summer working for the Lord. We've got a youth camp out We need to pray that they don't burn the forest down and that they have a very safe, wonderful trip that no bears, praise God, amen. Just wear those bells. You find them in the trail all the time. They help, praise God. We will definitely pray that the bears will not be around, praise God, and that God keeps you safe, amen. There are numerous people that need healing today. Praise God. You know the needs. The Lord knows the needs. Also, we've got upcoming events. Youth camp is coming up very, very quickly in just 2 short weeks, I believe, or something like that. It's getting way too close here. And then family camp directly following that. A lot of work is going on out at the campground. If you have free time, praise God, just a little tiny advertisement. Go help Uncle Ken. Praise God. Lots of stuff happening out there. But we need to pray that God would minister in those meetings, be with our speakers and our district leadership. A lot of decisions and stuff go on at our camp meetings, our conferences and whatnot, that God would be there in the midst of all of that. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. God, we love you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. God, I thank you, Lord, today for the reminder of prayer, the discipline of prayer in our lives. God, help us to each day ask for our daily bread. Help us to commune with you every day with a submitted heart. God, letting your will be accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name, God, we bring these needs of healing, Lord, before you today. In Jesus' name, each one in our church, God, that is needing a healing from you, God, I pray that you would reach down right now and touch them. In Jesus' name, you have proven yourself time and time again to be faithful as our healer. And we thank you, Lord, for it today. In Jesus' name, God, we pray for Brother Steve Adams today. God, you know the need. You know the situation. I pray, Lord God, that you would reach down into that need. God, let your perfect will be accomplished today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, I pray for our youth, Lord, as they go on this camp out. I pray that you would keep them safe. In Jesus' name. God, I pray that they would grow closer together, that they would grow closer to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray, God. I pray, Lord, for our upcoming camp meetings, youth camp and family camp. God, I pray that you would minister, Lord, in those meetings. I pray that there would be a time for evangelism and revival. Pour out your spirit at our camp meetings, I pray, God. Minister and touch our young people, God. Give them new passion, God, to reach out, Lord, to their friends. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would burn a fire in them, I pray. In Jesus' name, God, continue to minister to our young people, the leadership over our young people. God, I pray, Lord, for our family camp, God, that you would continue to uplift and strengthen your people, God. Strengthen this district, I pray, God, and the leadership of our district. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, be with us today in our service. God, pour out your spirit today. God, minister today in this service. Minister, Lord, I pray, God, we submit our lives to your will. We worship you with our whole heart today, and we give you glory. We give you glory. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we give you all of the praise today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've got just a few minutes before our 11 o'clock service begins. Shake somebody's hand. Be friendly. Smile, even if you don't feel like it this morning. Praise God.